Hi there, and welcome to Your Gateway to Wealth and Fulfillment. I'm Candace Klein, a financial advisor on the Gateway Wealth Management team at UBS Financial Services. We're located in Charlotte, North Carolina, and can be reached at 704-362-8211. Our guests today are Brandy Milazzo and Erica Erlenbach. They are co-founding and co-managing partners at Summit Law. They're not affiliated with UBS, and their views are their own. Welcome, Brandy and Erica. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks, Candace.
Thanks for having us.
I'm excited that y'all are here and wanted to start. Can you tell us a little bit about your backgrounds and what led you where you are today?
So I grew up in a smaller rural town about an hour northwest of Charlotte and grew up divorced family, but very close to both sets of grandparents. And I didn't realize what led me to where I am today until I left big law firms. I spent half of my career, a little under half of my career now that I'm getting a little older, in big firms, international, national firms. And as I was leaving, the day that I decided to start my own firm, it hit me like a roller coaster or a train. I realized that both of my grandfathers, with whom I spent a lot of time, were entrepreneurs and multiple times over. And I never knew why I had always had this interest in not just law, but business law. I never wanted to be a litigator, particularly growing up in a divorced family. Just never had that urge to be a litigator. And even though everybody said I would be a great one, I never wanted to be that. And in fact, my first big law firm tried to make me a business litigator. They were very much wanting me to be an appellate litigator, but I just really stuck with the business. I went to undergrad at Campbell, thought I was going to law school there, ultimately learned about the international business programs within our state. So went to the University of South Carolina because of their international program. I've always had an interest in traveling and learning about international affairs and business and cultures. And so I have an international MBA as well as my JD. And again, I go back to it, spending all the time I spent with my grandparents who both had their own business, but particularly my grandfathers. And so entrepreneurs in particular and business owners really do interest me. And I think that is my passion and why I love doing what I do.
I would say for me, when I made the decision to go to law school, it was partly because my interest in arguing and debating and negotiating, I had a little bit of a talent for that growing up. You can ask my folks. But
or your business partner.
Or my business partner, best friend now, right? Yeah. For me, it was more, I went to law school. I was interested in many areas, but not really the litigation side of any of it. Trial practice was one of those classes I took, and I did okay, but it was not a passion for me. And so when I actually entered the practice after taking the bar, passing the bar, and moving to North Carolina from California, where I went to school, I was looking for something that, for me, what I would consider happy law. And a lot of people may find that kind of humorous, because what kind of law is happy? Well, interestingly enough, things like real estate, where people are excited because they're buying or selling a piece of property. It's someone's next home or their investment, or they're selling something so they can upgrade. So that was, for me, happy law. And so I started there and I really enjoyed the transactional aspect. Brandy and I can talk a little bit about how we met. We had an interesting way of meeting. But once I was doing the real estate aspect for a while, I just really felt like I wanted to grow out of that. I'd been doing some business law transactions, but not significant ones. And then Brandy and I got to know each other, and she offered me an opportunity to join the firm. And we've now been doing a lot of really interesting business transactions, which again is happy law. So it's fun for me because of that. My grandparents had their own business and a little beauty shop. And so it was fun kind of seeing them do it. And now being part of the ownership of the business, which is a whole other aspect, not just the practice of law, but the ownership of a business, gives us, I think, a unique approach in working with clients that are doing the same thing and trying to sell their businesses and dealing with the challenges of not just what their business does, but the actual operation of the business as well.
I think you bring up a couple of good points. It's a win-win, generally, or that's what we're seeking in a business transaction, generally, not all of the time, but avoiding litigation, avoiding court, I think, is the main part. And I always joke that when I left big firm, I thought I'd seen some really hard days, but it was nothing compared to what I've experienced the last almost 14 years as a business owner. I've experienced partnerships, running all aspects of the business. Erica's now seen that too. And I think that business owners see that when they come to us, so they don't feel the need to be perfect, and they know that we're there to hold their hand and we get where they're coming from.
Yes.
Just not the legal aspect. And so I think also the financial part, a lot of lawyers aren't great at numbers, even business lawyers. And that is something that I'm very strong in and always had an interest in. I know Erica's very strong in it. And that's really important, not only to our clients and what they're doing in their transactions, but also to us and running the law firm. And so it's been a great journey. Looking forward to the rest of it.
Erica, you mentioned that you and Brandy are best friends, and I've known you ladies for a couple years now. I'm not exactly sure how long. I'm interested to hear how you guys met and then decided to go into business together.
Right. Right. Well, interestingly, so Brandy and I were both and are both members of Rotary, which is a service organization. And different Rotary clubs are all over this area and really all over the world. But we were in two separate Rotary clubs. And for various reasons, we both had an interest in participating in a certain event that the district, which is this region, that they were putting on. And for various reasons, we could not do it in prior years. Ended up both choosing to do it this year. Brandy's story is a little bit more interesting on that than mine, so I'll let her share that. But we ended up signing up to climb Kilimanjaro. Brandy, do you want to explain how you came to that decision to go ahead and go that year?
Are you talking about the conversation with the director? So the gentleman that led it for our region, he's actually in my club now. He was in charge of these climbs for our district for years, and he'd been after, we didn't know till later, both Eric and I, for probably about 4 years. This was about the fifth year. And he kept telling me, come on, Brandy, you got to do it. And I really hadn't been able to step away from the firm for 2 weeks to do that. And he goes, in this last push to get me to go on this one, he goes, come on, Brandy, you should do this one. You really should do it. It's an all-women climb. And for those of you who know me really well, for those of you who don't, let's say I've been on some girls' trips that have not turned out the best, even in my late 30s and 40s. And so I'm thinking to myself, he, bless his heart. So I literally tell him, I'm like, Mike, I know you're trying to win me over, but that's probably not the best argument. He goes, okay, well, I've got a better one. He's like, there's another female attorney going on the hike. And I said, okay, you just went. So obviously, I'm sure many of you know, we female lawyers get a bad rap. And so I was thinking to myself, that's going to be a really ugly hike. She's probably going to push me off the side of the mountain. Long story short, he told me who it was. We knew of each other. We had never really met or worked together. But he said, oh, you'll love Erica. And I'm like, sure I will. And he's like, just call her and talk to her. So we scheduled a very late night call. And we talked about what we needed, because I was the last to sign on to the trip, and her supplies and materials and her flights. Should I say that again, Erica? Because she was so nice. And she's like, I'll tell you where I got everything. I'm going to tell you what my flights are. And I'm thinking, wow, she was really nice. But anybody can be nice for 30 minutes on a phone call. But we did do one hike together. She convinced me.
A practice climb.
You want to take it from the flight?
So the friend of mine that was going with me to do this climb had booked our flights. And somehow I either wrote it down wrong, or maybe she had given it to me wrong. We're not 100% sure. But somehow we gave Brandy the wrong initial flight. So she showed up and she was
in
like,
Atlanta,
wait a minute, where are
by
all
myself.
These? Yeah. Getting ready for the international flight. Like, where is everybody? Why is nobody on this flight?
And I was so excited. I'd had dinner and a glass of wine. I knew they were coming in. I was like, left my kid at home. He was all safe and sound. And I'm like, I can't wait to see the ladies again. And they start boarding. And I'm like texting Erica, where are you? And she can't answer because they're on the flight from Charlotte to Atlanta.
We're on that flight. Yeah, it was somehow things got really messed up. But we did end up meeting. It was in
The Netherlands,
yeah, for that flight. And so we flew from there on.
You can imagine what went through my head the whole international flight. Everything I thought was true of girls' trip was coming to
fruition. She thought was coming, yeah. It started out a little bumpy there, but we got there. We got to Tanzania. It was a really interesting experience. Brandy and I are both very similar in that we literally took the list that they gave us.
There were four lists, let's be honest.
Fair, that we had combined so that we had one massive list of all of these things we were supposed to buy. She and I literally bought everything, both of us. So we're trying to take these ginormous packs to be able to climb up the mountain. And we're told we're limited in how much we have on our back and how much the porter will carry for you of your stuff that replenish yourself in the evening because they carry that pack and they put it in your tent for you. And so she and I are like going back and forth all night long before the climb. We're already nervous because we're getting ready to do this massive hike, right? And we're literally, I want to say it was probably like 6 or 7 times weighing our stuff, going back in, taking one thing out, going, weighing it again. Eventually, I think we got to the point where we could take the majority of our stuff, at least at that point, and ended up doing the climb. Do you want to talk about the night that we summited?
Are you talking about my lack of research? That might not speak well to us as lawyers. Well, so let me be clear. That should, what we packed should tell you how prepared we are as lawyers and how
That's
we will treat
true.
You as your business attorney. The next part, I'm so focused on being a business attorney and making decisions at our, what was then my, but our firm, that let's just say Brandy likes to be pretty impulsive when we're going on trips. And so this sounded like a great trip, summiting, great. I just got to make sure I'm in great shape. I have all the stuff. All the other ladies, to their credit, had done a ton of research. We get there and it was a hard, it was 6 nights, mm-hmm. 7 days, right? And so this was in 2018. And so we get, they intentionally, you don't start the summit until 11:35 at night. Like it's dark. And so you've had dinner, they tell you to go rest and meet them outside with all your 3 or 5 or 6 layers if you're Erica to summit. And so you really don't know, or at least I didn't know because again, I'm a little bit impulsive. So we literally did a zigzag up lava skeet and snow and ice, and it was freezing. You didn't even want to stop. Even if you had to go to the bathroom, you didn't want to take anything off or out. And so we literally got to the summit, what Brandy thought was the summit, at 6:35 a.m. And it's a beautiful sunrise. And I'm like, yes, I've done it. I'm looking at Erica and all the other gals with like, yay. And they bring out hot tea. And so we're excited and we take that out. And we're drinking it. And all of a sudden, like 10 minutes later, 15 minutes, they're like, okay, gals, pack it up. We got to go. We got to get to the other 2 summits. And it's going to be another 3 hours.
Whoa.
I literally look at Erica. She still to this day says, I wish I would have had a picture of your face in that moment. I'm like, I can't say it on here, but what are you talking about? 2 more summits and 3 or 4 more hours. So Brandy had not done her research because she likes to be surprised on her trips. Well, she got the biggest surprise of all. We had 2 more summits to, and the second one or the third one was the summit. We made it.
We made it
down. And so,
and then we had it at the end after we had accomplished this really great feat. We were able to have a really great experience doing a safari. And I think between all of this, like this whole time, Brandy and I are getting to know each other better and better. And we're realizing how we complement each other. And I would say that's partly true in our business, right? Not just our friendship, yes, but in our business as well. And on the safari, we started talking about, like I mentioned, hey, I'm really looking to be able to grow more in my business, in what I'm doing and how I'm doing it, where I was at, great firm, but didn't have that same sort of opportunity to have the mentorship in that practice. And so Brandy was in a little bit of a transition with some of the folks that were at what was her firm at the time. And we got to talking and she was very kind and gentle about, hey, if you're interested, we can talk at some point, but no pressure, no rush. Gave me the time to kind of process. And we got back and I don't know, what was it, like 2 months later?
September for my birthday.
That's right. We reconnected and talked a little bit more and I was all in.
Yeah, we closed down the Whitewater Center over some wine and talked about, but what was really great, and this is an important part of what we do, and we do share this story often in a much more summary fashion, but I heard she was looking, I knew who some other firms she was talking to, but I didn't go right in after her because I had just experienced some partnership issues at my firm. And so I was not in a place where I was ready to jump on the next best partner, right? I wanted to do it solo and make sure I got my footing under me and I wanted her to explore. And so at that time we talked about and we were really honest. We're not best friends. I wouldn't describe us as best friends when we hiked and even at this point of this talk, but we were very honest about what we had been through as lawyers, as women, and what we wanted. And so I think that was really key to why we are together and why we're still together and we have a great partnership and we have a great friendship and we're able to help other folks do that too.
Which is interesting because a lot of people, they may start out as friends, join, like go in on business together, and then they end up not friends anymore. And I would say that sort of the opposite has been true for us. Like, we've become even better friends to the point of being family. Like, we are consider each other family.
And I think part of that is self-awareness. And this is what we tell even our clients. Mm-hmm. And it's each other's awareness. So an example is even on the hike. Erica was very peppy during the summit. I wanted to be nowhere around peppy because I might have been the one to push somebody off the mountain. So I stayed with the chiller folks in the back, and she was in the lead singing. And I remember at one point I could hear her, one other gal, singing, and I'm talking to the two folks around me like, somebody knocked them out of there. So, but we recognize each other's differences and strengths within the firm and without. And I think that makes both the partnership and the friendship. And we encourage others and clients to do the same in
Absolutely.
Their own businesses.
What would you say has been one of the biggest challenges in launching your firm?
Time. I mean, there's just never enough of it. I mean, truthfully, for me, what I find to be honestly the biggest challenge is the fact that you literally, it's two completely different jobs. You're trying to practice law and you're trying to run a business. And so the melding of that and figuring out that balance of how much time you can do in each of these and figuring out who do you need to bring in to help so that you can free up to do the things you really want to do, which for us is practicing law.
That's right. I mean, and Candace, is what we tell all new clients, particularly clients going into selling their business mm-hmm. or an exit transaction, because there's even a third job then, right? But we have folks that come in and they're like, oh, I haven't done this. This is a mess. Eric and I are able to say, we get it. We have been there. We are still there in some areas. It's not perfect. I know business owners feel the need to project perfection to the outside world because you feel like if you can't, you're not going to get clients. And the truth of the matter is all business owners started what they started because they're good at what they are passionate about and what they know. There's a whole lot more to that running a business, the accounting, the HR, suppliers, vendors, payable, I mean, all kinds of stuff. So we can speak to that. And that, to Erica's point, that takes time and or money, and it's hard to get it all right. And so I would say go a step further. What's the hardest thing to learn is having the right people. And that even goes to partners. I've experienced really bad, mediocre, and now I am lucky to have a great partner. So that all goes together. The hardest part is knowing that you can't do it all and you need to get in the right people to do it. But finding the right people right now is really hard sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's a challenge that every business owner is facing
Absolutely.
Right now is finding good people. I know we face that in our industry as well.
And I would say it's the right people, right? The good people for the fit or for the position, because generally all people are good, but people need different things, want different things. And so finding the right fit is what's hard and how to do it. And everything's going so fast right now with technology. It's just hard to get it right.
So what would you say is one of the biggest challenges an entrepreneur faces today?
Honestly, the same thing.
Time, because
we're entrepreneurs
people.
Too. And I mean, I do think it's what makes us unique in being able to offer services to our clients, because we get it. We understand where they're coming from. And we can talk from a slightly different place than other business attorneys out there that have never been through the business operations, the startup, all of that. But truthfully, it is time, it is resources, and figuring out what your balance is. Because it's not just the balance even within the business, but the balance within your personal life as well. And you're trying to run the business, take care of your clients or customers, depending on what business you're in, and trying to have that personal life and take care of yourself too. I mean, especially with a young child, right? I mean, it's an even bigger challenge, which Randy has faced and has had to face for, 13 years since mm-hmm. you started out on your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think I agree. It's the same answer. It's just making sure that you're getting everything done, although it may not be you, but if it is you, that's still time and money, and getting the right people. And here's the thing. Here's a really hard thing for all business owners and other people to learn. If you're not a business owner and haven't been a business owner, I don't care how many you work with, a big law. I worked with tons of entrepreneurs, but I was so focused on the process, the legal process. Mm. I had no idea what they were experiencing as business owners. Employees, if you are an employee, I don't care what your profession is, if you don't own the company, you don't have an appreciation for what it takes to make sure all of that is working, that you get your paycheck. And you're, and that's okay. I mean, that's what it is. You're focused on a paycheck, a salary or an hourly paycheck. But business owners have a very different perspective. And sometimes I think they do it for so long, they forget that not everybody else has it. And I remember a coach that we've had used to say, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. And so I do try to keep that in mind and am now more grateful for the obstacles. But I think that's hard because you're trying to put folks together that have two very, you know, the employees or other folks with owners that have two very different perspectives.
Yeah. And Brandy, you bring up a good point too. You never want to, that old adage of like resting on your laurels, right? We don't ever want to be that way. We continue to grow and learn and reach out. We network, we interact with people, we attend seminars to learn more so that we can continue to always be not just the best attorneys, but also the best leaders for our organization.
And also, we really like, I know one of the reasons that Eric and I are together are not just because as business partners and best friends are not just because we love law and what we do, but we also love people, learning things about people and helping them be their best. And we really like the counseling part of our job, counselor, not just attorney. One of our big things is a couple of years ago, even when she joined me as an equity partner, there are a lot of folks that won't see lawyers and are okay with C-plus lawyers, and they're okay, people being okay with being C-plus lawyers. Less markups, less money. We decided a long time ago we wanted to be A plus lawyers. That is my training. And so that's what we've decided to be. And so sometimes that, a lot of times, that means it's not the right client for us. It means the team member may not be the right person. Yeah. Because if you're just coming to a job, that's not what our small boutique firm now is. It's about transactions. And we are also not your, as a couple of our clients, favorite clients. I hope some of them will be listening. We are not their yes people. We have one gentleman. We love him. He's great. He always says, Brandy, Erica, y'all are supposed to be closers. You have a reputation for closing deals. Yes, sir, we do. But we also have to be ethical and be able to sleep at night and know that you are okay. Well, I will never forget. He asked one time, is there somebody on your team that will tell me yes? And I said, yes, but you're not going to talk to them. And then he said, well, is there a lawyer that will tell me yes? I said, yes, please walk outside your office, right or left, well, right or left, and go to the next attorney's office, tell them how much money you are have on the line, and they would potentially tell you yes, but we're not those people. So we enjoy the more complex situations, and even if we have to say no, but we like help working with clients and business owners to find ways to say yes, but the right way to say yes.
And we're teaching our team to do the same thing.
Correct. Yes.
It can be hard to tell people no, especially when it's high stakes. And
absolutely.
I don't know if you've ever encountered people getting obviously contentious. And
have we?
We certainly have.
We might have been hung up on a couple of times. And then they sleep on it. And they'll call us back in a couple of days once they've had time. Because a lot of times, I mean, I've done it too. Yeah. We're guilty of it as well.
Absolutely.
We get frustrated because we did something in a hurry or we made a decision in a hurry and it came back to bite us. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want to hear the solution, right? But if you sleep on it, take a breath, take a look back, you're like, okay, this was me. This is us. We got to figure this out and fix it.
It sounds like your clients are lucky to have you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So what's next for the two of you? What are you excited about? Where do you have planned for the next couple years?
Live podcast? Erica, I'm just teasing. Erica's so excited. No, it's a great question. We're still exploring that. This was a big switch. Candace, we are winding down an old firm that we both owned that was full service and created Summit just a little over a year ago. And to become focused only on the transactional business side of things. We let go of the litigators, all the other practice areas, because honestly, we wanted to focus on what we're passionate about. So I would say right now in the immediate future is focusing on continuing to grow Summit to be a boutique, exceptional business law firm. particularly M&A, commercial real estate, finance, general corporate and supply chain firm. That's what we do, and we want to only do that. And also focusing on the right clients and knowing that not every client is the right client for us, and making sure we get the right team members, just what we've been talking about. And then I think beyond that, there are some other things that we want to do. We're still talking about three or four of those.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. Maybe we can do another one when those come to fruition.
Yes, I'd love to have you guys back on.
Yeah.
So how can our listeners connect with you and learn more about the two of you and your firm?
We have our webpage. Obviously, it's still under construction, but we do have our phone number on there right now. We're developing a new page, but you can also always reach out to Candace. She and her business partner are great business partners and strategic outside partners with us. So we enjoy working with them, but always obviously reach out to Candace and her team. And you can, through that main number, get to us. I think that was it.
We're in a number of different organizations. If any of the listeners are folks that are involved in those or want to look any of those up, there's other ways of reaching us through that perspective.
Don't forget about good old LinkedIn.
That's a true story.
That is true.
Thank you, Candace.
Yes, that is great.
Reach out. That's perfect.
Thank you both for coming in today, Brandy and Erica. It's been great chatting with you. And I want to thank all of our listeners. And we hope you enjoyed this new episode.
Thank you, Candace, for inviting us. This has been fun.
Thank you.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.